Welcome to That Eurovision Slice, a podcast about Eurovision with a slice of life. In this series, we delve deep into the Eurovision Song Contest and examine the ins and outs of Europe's favourite TV show. We also share stories of how the contest has shaped us as fans and how the show has impacted our lives. Before this episode starts, be sure to check out our social media at That Eurosite, and remember to check out our website for all of our coverage of the contest. Now, without further ado, let's get into the discussion. Hello everyone, it is Rory here, and we are back with our country retrospectives, and this time around we are going to be talking about the amazing Croatia at Eurovision. And with this, we've got a nice guest with us this time round, because obviously some people want to talk about Croatia on the site, but like, it's better to get a proper local perspective on this, so I think it's a good idea. So I've been joined by the amazing Boris, who is a Croatian Eurovision fan, so hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Nice, nice time.
Nice to see you here. So Eurovision within Croatia, let's just get straight into it. It has been a part of the Eurovision Song Contest since 1993. And since then, it has not won the contest, but as an independent country, because in 1989, Croatia actually won the contest with Riva as part of Yugoslavia with the song Rock Me. But because they were from Croatia, they're from Zadar, we were able to then bring the contest to Zagreb in 1990. Now, for listeners who are listening to this, Boris is actually wearing a Baby Lasagna merch t-shirt here. It is a Gertruda, and on the back, it says Baby Lasagna, meow cat, please meow back. So I think it's fair to say that you are a big Baby Lasagna fan. Am I right in saying that?
Of course.
Yeah. So, like, how was it for you when you got to see Croatia finish in, like, second place, right behind, obviously, Switzerland? I know you might have wanted to win, but, like, how was it to, like, get such a high place?
We were so angry.
We were so angry?
Yeah, we were angry because we wanted to win, of course. It was kind of such amazing experience to watch and to be like in the mainstream finally, like after all of the years being like not even qualified, finally getting through the final, getting to the main stage, getting to the main part of Eurovision, like listened, like being there actually and followed by the crowd. I, as a Croatian person, I followed with my friends the final, and it was so nice. It was really nice experience. We felt that maybe we'll win. It might gonna be the winning, finally. It didn't happen, but still, it was a nice experience because we win the public vote.
Yeah.
So it's still kind of a win. So yeah, I think we done the great job.
I mean, the thing is, so looking at it with Croatia, like you say that like it's been really bad and like you haven't qualified and all these times, but there was like a time with like Daniela and Doris Dragovic, you know, with Maria Magdalena and Nekameni Svane, like Croatia was actually doing pretty well, like in the 90s and like the early 2000s. You know, just before we started recording, we started listening to Vesna Pisarevic with Everything I Want, which was Eurovision 2002. You know, Croatia was really good, like in like the beginning, you know, when like you guys started as like an independent country. So like, you know, what do you make of those songs before, like at the beginning of Croatia?
I think it was a good balance between our songs and what Eurovision or Europe expected from us, because we had a good export for them. So I think it was a good start, like in the, especially the late 90s, especially with Maria Magdalena. Neka mi ne svane, nek me nema, nek me ne bude. So yeah, sorry.
Great sound. It's a great sound.
Yeah. So yeah, this was a great breakthrough actually for us, especially because we were kind of still in the recovering from the war and all the things, all the shitty stuff. I think this was a kind of nice beginning for us. I'm not sure why we kind of get into a crisis kind of from 2013-14 especially. From 2010-11 we kind of get to a crisis. After 2016-17 we kind of get up, but still it was a struggle. I think 2025 will be a struggle still, because we are never kind of get know if we'll get through a final or not. So yeah, we'll see.
no, definitely. I mean we'll get on to that in a little bit, but like obviously when Eurovision, like when Eurovision started to like expand into like Eastern and Central and Eastern Europe after the fall of communism in like the 90s, you know, Croatia was like one of the first countries to actually make it out of the show as an independent country, right? And you know, you got through to Kvalifikacije Mill Street and like all these other, like Suput, Don't Ever Cry, that was the first ever Eurovision song from Croatia as an independent country. But as time went on, I mean, you know, we had some good songs from Croatia. You know, we saw some great choreography from the likes of Severina and maybe Igor Tsukrov as well, you know. So kind of looking at that, I mean, like, what are some of your favorite Eurovision songs from your home country? I know there might be quite a lot because obviously, like, you're a big Eurovision fan. But what would you say are some of your favorite Croatian Eurovision songs?
This is a tough question.
I know, that's the point.
I don't know. From Dora?
Well, songs that went to Eurovision for Croatia.
Okay. Give me a sec. Okay, I'll probably choose Ljepatena.
Ljepatena. Okay, so 2009.
2009 was still a qualifying country, qualifying year for us. I would choose also Lighthouse, 2016. And of course, I will choose 2024 Rim Tim Tagadim, because I think that was a really nice song that won every Croatian heart.
Yeah, no, I mean, I mean, we already saw in 2024 when, like, before Malmö, there were so many people like in Pula, in Zagreb, in Vinkovci, and in maybe Split and Dubrovnik as well. You know, they were all doing these huge kind of flash mobs that were kind of going on. I mean, like, that kind of united the country a little bit, wasn't it? Behind Rim Tim Tagadim. So, like, looking at it like that, how strange was it to kind of go through Baby Lasagna kind of only just getting into the show, because he was a reserve, obviously Eurovision fans will know this, but he was a reserve and then managed to get into Dora because Zsa kind of pulled out. You know, how crazy is it that you almost kind of threw away a potential Eurovision winner?
Firstly, it was kind of a betrayal, I would say, because we didn't expect it that much, because we get used to that we won't get through the final. We kind of get used to we are in the second half and we don't get into the final. And when Zsa just split it off from the competition, it was like, okay. And when Baby Lasagna turned on into the show, it was like a breakthrough. Like, oh my God, who is this guy? What's he doing? Like, what's this? This is kind of now new Croatian Rammstein or what? And yeah, it was kind of catchy. It was so nice. It was mix of traditional stuff, of new stuff, of beginning of 2000s hard rock metal stuff, everything. But I think it's good stuff that he connected like the old and the new generations together. Like, all generations in Croatia sang with him, all from 7 to 77. He really connected the whole nation. We all were for them.
Yeah.
We cheerleader for them. Because he was so, and he was modest all the time. He didn't want to win. He just wanted to be for us in the Eurovision 2024.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, but I love that because it means that, like, you know, it wasn't something that people didn't expect, you know, that people would take to him, like people would like him so much. And then he ended up winning the public vote in Dora for like 200 and something points or whatever. It was like 200 and like 30 something points, maybe even 260. I don't actually know. No, I don't think it's 300. I don't think so. But like, in the fact that there was that, and then like looking at Eurovision in Croatia, that would have been so cool. I mean, I think, I mean, okay, I haven't really given my own opinion on my favorite songs from Croatia. Let me do that. Because some of my favorite songs from Eurovision in Croatia are obviously Maria Magdalena, Doris Dragovic, 1999. I think it was an amazing song. I think she was so much fun. And again, sex workers. We love sex workers here. Maybe then also I might say 2006, Moja Štikla. Of course, Severina, an iconic Eurovision song that definitely needs to be. I also will give a shout out as well to 2008, Romanza by Kraljevica Ulica featuring 75 Cent. I think that's a really good song. I mean, it's definitely kitsch and it's definitely Eurovision. Like, it's something that, you know, you cannot say is Eurovision, you know? Like, you cannot say is not Eurovision. And then also, I have to give a shout out as well to Nina Kraljic as well, and Franka from 2016 and 2018. I was not a big fan of Croatia when they initially came back after a couple of years, because I was a little bit, like, unsure of where they were going and what the direction was. But after Dora kind of came back into the, like, the main, did like national selection, that made things a little bit nicer. So I was happy that we had a couple of good songs as an internal selection from HRT. Do you think that it was a good idea to bring Dora back as a selection? Or do you think that, like, maybe HRT still should have picked people like internally, like as a thing before bringing it to a public vote?
We bring up Dora back in 2019. Is it a 2019?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, of course we need a public vote, because I think, okay, HRT is our national TV broadcast, but we need public vote, of course, too. And we can make a good public opinion to public selection to Eurovision, what we'll send to Eurovision. So we sent Marko. So that's also kind of a message what we want to send. I think also this next year, 2025, we also can send a good song. I'm not sure if we'll qualify, but we can send a good song. We have some good performances that maybe can make a good song. I hope they'll make a good song. I hope we'll have a good performances that can make a good song. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've kind of piqued my interest here with one thing. You said that you're not sure whether you'll qualify next year. But, like, surely off the hype from Baby Lasagna, like, would, like, maybe you might think, "Oh, maybe we could be like a country that's like gets into the final regularly, you know?" Because obviously you have a streak right now. You have Let Three, then as well as Baby Lasagna. So do you not think you might be able to make it like a third time, maybe?
So beginning from 2016, mm-hmm. you have Nina Kraljic. He was in the final. 2017, you have Jacques. He was in the final.
As much as he shouldn't have been, but you know, that's just who I am. I don't like that song.
He was in final. It was 2018. She was not in the final.
Uh-huh.
2019, he wasn't in final. Mm-hmm. 2020, there wasn't any Eurovision.
No.
21, we weren't, but we were commenting about this.
Yeah, we kind of talked about this before we started recording, that Croatia actually, I mean, for those of you who may not know straight away, Croatia finished 10th in the televote and 10th in the jury, and yet still failed to qualify based on the amount of points that they received. So, 11. Thanks, Norway, for that, I guess. Like, fuck you, but also at the same time. Yeah, so, like, that in itself, like, kind of raises questions, right?
That's 2021.
2021, yeah, that was.
2022 was Mia Dimšić. Okay, she was okay, let's say.
She was 11th overall, though. She nearly qualified. She nearly did.
Yeah, 2022 was...
But,
let 3?
No, 2023 was let 3.
Wait, who was 2022?
Mia Dimšić.
Okay, 2023 was let 3. Yeah, and 2024 was our Marco. So, I think we made some progress. I'm not sure it was a purpose one. I think it was a accidentally one. So... that's why I'm not sure. I'm still not sure we're gonna qualify. 2025. I'm not sure we're gonna qualify. I'm giving 25% of chance that we're gonna qualify. I'm honest. I'm literally honest.
Wow. I mean, that is saying something, you know. We're obviously kind of looking at the data at the moment, and obviously if Croatia did qualify in 2025, that would be the first time since like 2004, when the introduction of semifinals was brought in, that Croatia could have qualified for the final, because every other time it's been a maximum of two before the qualified, like, before the streak ran out. So that in itself kind of shows that maybe the changes could be coming for Croatia. But I mean, okay, we're recording this at the moment just after the names that have been announced for Dora 2025. So we don't know the songs yet because the songs haven't been released. But you know, you say that, oh, only maybe 25% chance of Croatia kind of qualifying. Maybe, like, I don't know. Like, do you think that as a fan of Eurovision, you might want to, like, have, like, hope that, you know, maybe Croatia could win Eurovision and you could bring it back to Zagreb? Because, I mean, you know, we were kind of also talking about this before we started recording. There isn't a lot of places in Croatia that could host a huge event like Eurovision other than Zagreb, right?
I mean, in Zagreb, we have space. We have Arena Zagreb, in New Zagreb, in Novi Zagreb. We also have Kranjčevićeva Stadium. We have some more places that they could host around 10,000 people or more. So, we have places.
Mm-hmm.
And about the people, actually, this is now official for Dora 2025. Number of people who will actually perform their songs. A lot of them are new. I don't know a lot of them. I know Luka. I know Magazine. I know Marin Juric Cibro. I know Marko Bošnjak.
Which one? Because there's like four different Markos in this year.
Yeah, Marko Bošnjak and Marko Škugor. Marko Tolja. Natalie Balmix, of course, and Nipple People.
I mean, that is in itself a great name, Nipple People.
Yeah, Nepal people, I think we expect a lot. We expect a lot from them, and I think much of pressure will be put in front of them, because we expect a lot from them, and I hope they'll make a good performance and they'll have a great song. So yeah, we have now a few days ago when the release of around 20 artists.
24. So there's 24. So Fedora 2025, there's going to be two semi-finals and a final with 24 acts. So the acts will be split into two semi-finals, so there's 12 each. We don't know how many are going to make it to the final yet so far, but we can kind of guess that maybe there might be 12 in the final. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Sorry, carry on.
You know, boring statistics.
I'm a Eurovision fan. This is all we do.
Ha ha ha. Okay, so from 24, we know only 4 or 5. So that's kind of 20%. Most of them we don't know. So we actually expect surprises. That's the conclusion of this conversation.
Yeah, I guess in a way it kind of, it shows that Croatia is kind of looking to the lesser known people, because obviously Baby Lasagna wasn't really known before he got into Dora, and maybe trying like a new idea of like unknown kind of people. Like, do you think that that's a good idea? Because, you know, we've had Letri, we've had Vesna, you know, we've had quite big names like Feminem, right, as course too. For Croatia. So, like, these are all big names in the Balkans. So do you think that maybe now, because Baby Lasagna is so popular, that he, like, this is sparking them to try and, like, try something new and be like, I don't know. Like, what do you think? What do you think?
I mean, it was a good idea once in 30 plus years.
Yeah?
So, for me, as a mathematician, it means that it will be a good idea in 2055.
Oh, right. Okay, so not 2025.
I'm not sure. I'm still not sure. I said 25%. If it wasn't recorded, 2025, I'm 25% sure that we'll qualify.
Right, so, and that's because of what?
That's because I think we don't put enough investment in our quality musicians. We don't put enough investment in our music as well, and in our new alternative music, in our music in Eurovision as well. I'm not sure if we are ready to host Eurovision, for example, in 2026. So I'm not sure that we are really ready to be a Eurovision host. But I think we'll be ready for it. If it happens, for example, in Zagreb or any other city in Croatia in 2026, we'll be ready for it. But for now, I hope we're ready for it, let's say.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Croatia has a great opportunity to show itself. You know, we've seen so many different sides to the music industry in Croatia. You know, we've had opera, we've had traditional music, we've had rock, we've had some kind of whatever you would call kind of rim-tim-taggy-dim. It's kind of metal, but, or also pop as well, but, you know, like, yeah, flash mobby kind of things, you know. Hard metal, I think, is probably the best way of maybe describing it. So, yeah, so kind of looking at that, like, what do you want to see from Croatia kind of going forward at Eurovision? What do you want HRT to do at Eurovision to maybe get a win and bring Eurovision to Zagreb? What do you hope that they can do? Because I mean, it's one thing to be like, oh, we need more investment, but like, it relies on a whole package of things, doesn't it? It has to be the song, has to be the singer, you know, the way that it's performed, you know?
Ah, what an amazing question.
Finally.
Thank you for this question. Some extraordinary, something new, something, I don't know what about. Maybe it's about ecology. I don't know.
Ecology?
Yeah. We had some song about ecology.
Which one was it?
I'm not sure. I think... it was Dora 2021, I think. So.
Oh. I don't remember this one.
Okay.
You'll have to fill me in. You are the resident Croatian person here, so...
I expect something extraordinary. I expect something new. That's a difficult task for the musicians now. Lots of music for me from Croatia. A lot of music is copycat. You see a lot of copycat. You see a lot of something that you have already seen.
Right.
It's not new music. Mm. And the... One or two or three maybe songs that are new are basically in the top 5 or top 10 if they have a lot of money inside, like PR or something. So I don't expect from HRT that much because in Croatia, to be honest, we don't believe them. So I hope televoting will do its job. Mm-hmm. Because people are kinda still doing the right job for Dora. So I expect people will choose the best. So people will choose some who will actually can maybe get through the final. So I hope we'll have a good song. And I expect much from nipple people and heart for them now.
Okay, so we already know who your favorites is going to be for Dora 2025 then. Just like as a final question, you know, you kind of touched on the amazing kind of representative democracy and everything. And a little bit of the diversity as well on the music scene in Croatia. Who would be some of your favorite acts that you would like to see represent Croatia? Who would you like to see go to Eurovision for Croatia? Maybe not in 2025, because obviously, you know, we already have the names for those this year, but maybe in 2026 or 2027, like, who do you think would be a good one to go for? I know it's a very tough question. But, like, it's just because, obviously, like, you're in the midst of what is the Croatian music scene. Like, you know, we're talking about this as if we're currently in Manchester right now. So, obviously, I'm not really connected to the Croatian scene. So, yeah, like who would be people that we should be looking out for? And maybe in 2026 or in future editions of Dora?
That's a good question, let's say. I think we need new musicians. We have some kind of, not old, but good musicians that are in the scene for 20, 25, 30 years. They're kind of wasted, so we need new ones. We have magazine, I think we have, or do we don't have magazine in Dora?
What do you mean magazine?
Magazine as a group.
Oh, maybe? I think so.
Can you check? Can you check, please?
I'll have a look very quickly. Hang on, bear with me.
You'll have a look. Yeah, okay. I mean, I think we have new groups. We have new musicians.
Yeah, we do have magazines. Sorry.
Okay. Magazine, they have a new main singer, like a lead singer. She will do a good performance, I think, I hope. But I don't think that will end in the first place. They just want to get like a PR. But that's a good start for them. with a new singer. A lot of the artists are unknown for me. If I'll just read the artists, most of them I don't know. I think that's the good part. I don't know what to expect. So maybe just have a new artist and have a good experience. I hope you'll keep in touch with English singing and native also singing.
Yeah, we'll definitely be doing that. I mean, of course, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, we will be at Dora 2025. So we will be keeping you in touch with how things will be going for those kinds of things. Fingers crossed, Croatia can kind of build on this kind of momentum that they have going on. It is only right for them to try and do it, you know. I think it's probably a good idea to kind of just tape things off because obviously, you know, we're kind of looking too far ahead now. So yeah, I would love to thank Boris for coming on today. Is there anything else you would just love to tell Eurovision fans just obviously ahead of time?
Thank you for everything.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having. Thank you very much for being on the podcast. It's very much appreciated and everything. But yes, so please do, in the meantime, let us know what you think about Croatia at Eurovision. Do you think they have got quite a lot of songs that are your favourites? What do you think they need to do to maybe score that first win? Do you think they maybe need to get Baby Lasagna back again? Do you think that might possibly work? Yeah, let us know what you think. We are on all of the social media at that Eurosite, so that is including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, and Tumblr. Please do continue to follow us on all of our social media. We will be continuing on with our selection and our country retrospective and year retrospective podcasts in due course. And shall we say goodbye?
Bye!
See you later! Bye!